I want to read this morning from Matthew 14. This is a favorite story of mine. I had something else prepared, actually. I was going to tag on to last week's message on Chosen and continue that this week, but I felt midweek that God spoke to me from this passage that I was to share from it. A discussion with my brother-in-law, Jess, who is going to Haiti tomorrow, and keep him in prayer. Our church, you might have read that in the bulletin welcome, but our church has planted a church in Haiti, and now there's two churches. God has blessed that tremendously, and we're actually, as CMO Haiti, we're 1 year old. We're rooted in Faith Missions there, which is the mission my dad was with for years, who's now with the Lord. And but we have planted two churches, CMO Haiti, in Jeremy and the little village of Martino. And my brother-in-law, Jess, who's vice president of the mission, is going, and I appreciate that very much because he's going too as a representative for me. I usually try to go three, four times a year, but as that's gotten kicked off, you've probably noticed I put a lot into something when we started. And then we pray as others come in and we can wean off of that, and I feel like it's time to focus and put energies in some other things, specifically the rescue resort this year. And so I appreciate Jess going. He's going to be speaking at the one-year little conference they're having Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next week. So keep him in your prayers. Matthew 14 is an awesome story. Don't know for sure what all I'm going to say about it. I've jotted down a few things on my legal pad. Did you know I like legal pads? Ask Pam, behind the chair where I sat, I have more legal pads than you can only imagine. And she says, are you going to continue to add stuff back there? I just have all kinds of things. You know, I'm the type of person, I like stuff right there where you can get it. I got my Scotch tape and my ever-present whiteout. I always have whiteout available, and I've got so many things and reference books, and it's a neat place. Have you got a little corner of your room that's your own? Isn't that cool? I think that the Lord provides us comfortable, safe places where we can just nestle in and start our day, and I think it's awesome, the little things even that God does there. Matthew 14 is just a story that has moved my heart. Probably preached on this in the last 34 years of pastoring, and I worked on my math. You've noticed that. But this passage, I've gone lots of directions with this, but God spoke to me midweek that we were to share this today. 14:22 says, in my Bible, yours it may too be entitled, Jesus Walks on the Water. Immediately, Jesus made, I have made underlined in my Bible, some versions say commanded the disciples to get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Now, he had just fed thousands of people. Five loaves and two fish. We don't know for sure the number of that crowd. It was 5,000 men besides women and children. So this was a crowd of 15, 20,000 people. And he was dismissing the crowd. And it's interesting, he says, immediately Jesus made or commanded the disciples to get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Did you know that sometimes the Lord commands you to do something that's adverse? Did you know that sometimes the Spirit leads you into something that's difficult? We have a dangerous theology out there today in a lot of our, especially not all, but some of our mega churches, not all. There's some great mega churches. They don't teach that part of the gospel, that it's through the trial of your faith that you're developed, that there's going to be hardship. The message is often a popular message if it's all about favor and blessing. Oh my, I'm telling you. As you walk with the Lord and you get into the autumn years of your life, I just turned 62. I've walked with the Lord now for almost 44 years. Oh, there's a time, there's a season of favor. There's a time when whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap, is a very positive verse in your life, because you're reaping from the years that you serve the Lord. You're not, you know, when you first get saved, you can be reaping from some ugly stuff. First few years of my Christian life were difficult. Reaping some ugly stuff. Hang in there, guys. Hang in there, gals. Some of you are new Christians. You come out of difficult lives and lives of addictions. Hang in there. Yes, there's some natural consequence and there's some things that happen and you got to work through that. Some talk about the first few years of their Christian life are tremendous. Mine weren't. Sorry, disappoint you. Oh, I had a testimony and was glad to be forgiven. But the first few years of my Christian life were rough because I'd sowed some bad seed. And there were some things we kind of had to work through. Oh, I was thankful for forgiveness. I was thankful for the freedom that comes from knowing that you've been forgiven and the guilt gone. But the first few years of my Christian life were difficult. But I'm telling you, this whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, Galatians 6, 7. That also works in a very positive way because now I'm in a time of my life where I'm reaping some benefits of good decisions, benefits of walking with the Lord. Did you know, though, that it's not all just favor and blessing? Did you know that the trial of your faith worketh patience? Did you know that the most developed Christians you know, who you have confidence in, and who you pick up the phone and call them for prayer, are people who have weathered lots of storms? Jesus commanded them. He made them get into the boat, and he knew what was coming. Now, he could have set them down. My brother-in-law gave this little scenario when he and I were talking about this passage. He's going to speak on this in Haiti. And when he and I were talking, it inspired me, and I knew that God wanted me to change what I'd planned for this morning. But I appreciated Jess's thought on this. He said, you know, the disciples and Jesus could have sat down. He said, now, let me give you the scoop here, boys. We don't want anything to throw you. You're going to get in this boat, and I'm going to dismiss the crowd. But you're going to get out there, and it's going to get pretty windy. And the waves are going to get pretty significant. And then you're going to think you're going to capsize, but you're not going to, because I'm going to walk out there and get in the boat with you and command peace be still. He didn't do that. He just said, get in the boat. He knew all that was going to happen, but they didn't know. What's the difference in those two scenarios? Faith. Well, if he'd have sat down and explained it all, he just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Why should I doubt him now? I mean, he put mud on eyes, and I saw the man come back and could see. We need him for a welfare program to pay taxes. You just catch a fish, and there'll be a coin in the mouth. Go ask Peter. So if he said, you go out there, just hang on the boat, boys. It's going to get a little rocky, but I'll show up walking out there. Now, don't let that bother you when you see something out there on the water. I know it's unusual to see something on the surface of the water, but that's going to be me. I don't read or explain any of that, did he? He just said, get in the boat and go across. The difference between what happened and the scenario I gave you is there's faith. It's hard in the midst of the present tough situation to hang in there sometimes. Don't be too hard on yourself. You know, I've had times when I repented and I didn't need to. I had times when I was saying, Lord, I dropped the ball. You healed me of leukemia. You rescued us the same year from a fire. You gave us a new home after our fire that was nicer than the one we had. You renewed my youth, like you said, told my wife you would do in Psalms, and you did. And there's times I forget some of that, and when I'm in the storm, I'm thinking, oh, mercy, this is pretty rocky. I'm afraid I'm going over. Don't be too hard on yourself. Allie read the words from Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all your iniquities and healeth all your diseases. And then he goes on to say how as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our sins from us. And then I love this part, you know what it is. As a father pitieth his children. I love that verse. And I love to explain it, so you're going to have to hear it again. Now I'm a grandfather of 8 grandchildren, 7 boys and 1 girl. So I'll pick on the girl. When Addison's up to bat, strike! It's okay. It's all right, hon. Keep your eye on the ball. Strike! It's all right. Strike! Oh, come here. That irritates parents. That's what grandparents are supposed to do. We're supposed to mush all over them. I love it. Did you ever, it's the funniest thing kids say. We were reading things they say. They say, one little girl said, grandmothers are so soft. Isn't that funny? As a father pitieth his children. That's the Hebrew in Psalms. Don't be too hard on yourself. I feel I need to say that for some reason this morning. Don't be too hard on yourself when you drop the ball. This old world ain't no easy place. Pardon my English. This old world ain't no easy place. We're a long way from the Garden of Eden, my friend. This is a cursed world. And there's a lot of adversity. And I've served the Lord for 44 years, and I love the Lord more than I ever have. But I'm telling you, my life's not been easy. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I can say both of those halves of those verses with enthusiasm. Yes, there's many afflictions. It seems like every time you turn around, there's something else. Anybody else feel that way? Oh, there's something else. But the Lord delivers him out of it all. Any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to swim upstream, and you're fighting the enemy. You're fighting the current. Are you with me? Well, it's hard at my factory, Pastor. Of course it is. You're swimming upstream. God and one man and God are a majority, though. Take courage, take heart. Don't beat yourself up when you drop the ball. You're not going to get an A on every test. As a father pitieth his children, God didn't beat up on you when you were doing your best. I tell him in here in the room with the worship team, I say, let's give our best. He deserves our best. He deserves our best lamb. But my best isn't always the same. There's days I come up here and after the service, I don't feel like, boy, I'll tell Pam we get in the car. We always pray together in the car before we pull out from the church and thank him for the morning. And sometimes she'll say, how do you feel about things? And I'll think, oh, brother. I think I forgot how to play the guitar. You know, I've played since I was like 8, and I couldn't even remember chords today. I feel like I did. But that was my best that day. My capacities weren't as much. I'd been up part of the night at the hospital with a friend. My capacities weren't as much. I've been through some crisis in our family that week, and my best isn't always the same. As a father pitieth his children, God isn't up there saying, up, struck out again. Would I even have you go out for baseball for? No, that's not the God we serve. Now, you set your jaw. I'll have my own way, do it my own way, live my own life. Nobody's going to tell me. Now you're going to fight the waves, and they're going to hit you in the face. But when your heart is open, and you've been broken, and life's beaten you up. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. He's gracious. That's something I pray all the time. Lord, give me graciousness. As I get older, I want graciousness. But we're not going to get very far. That's just the first verse. Immediately, Jesus made them get into the boat. They didn't know what they were up for. Oh, guys, man, we got full stomachs. We just had that nice meal of fish and garlic bread. Doesn't say it was garlic, but we're going to have it. Oh, boy, this is going to be nice. Let's just kind of ease back, and we'll just kind of tool along in the boat. Didn't turn out that way. You ever have any days like that? And after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. The energy of Jesus. Me? If I just broke bread for 5,000 people, I'd be saying, Pam, take the phone off the hook. Anybody knocks the door, don't answer it. I'm going to take a nap. He goes up in the mountain there alone to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, and it was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Anybody had a week like that? Anybody had a week like that? It's still Jesus. Still Jesus. He said, get in that boat and go on. And I don't know what he's praying about up on the mountain, but I'm going to guess, and you don't add or take away from the word, but I'm willing to paraphrase a little when it's scripturally consistent with other truths. I don't know what Jesus was praying up there in the mountain, but I'll bet something. I bet he was praying, let this trial develop them, not destroy them. Let this trial develop them and not destroy them. Because when the winds get rough and the boat rocks hard and the waves are hitting you in the face, it's easy to get lost in the Y forest. I told the Hines family, a daughter, 38 was she, I believe, dies in her sleep. Don't get lost in the Y forest. If you get lost in the Y forest, why did this, why did that, you'll chase your tail the rest of your life. You'll go in circles for the rest of your life. Some things in life we don't understand. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, everybody in the world knows that's the love chapter, has a verse that seems it doesn't fit. At the end of the love chapter, after he describes the marvelous love of God, love is kind, patient, on it goes. Then he says, now we see through a dark glass. Isn't it interesting that in the love chapter, he tells us there's going to be some things we don't understand. In the chapter where he says, I love you, and tells what his love is, he tells us there's going to be some things that we don't understand, but it's temporarily that way. For now we see through a dark glass, 1 Corinthians 13, but then face to face, and we will know even as we are known. Our eyes will be opened and we'll know truth and we'll understand. We used to sing a southern song years ago in the churches I started out in where we had a lot of southern folk. We'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. There's some things you don't understand. There's some things just don't make sense. There's some stuff that comes up in life, and you hit all the stuff on the calculator, and you hit the total does not make sense. But it was Jesus that sent them into the storm. And I believe he was praying for them. Help them to develop in the storm. Don't let them get lost in the whys. Don't let them get angry. And anger is an emotion. Let me talk about that for a minute. God doesn't fall off the throne if we get upset about something for a little bit. Just don't let it take root. Did you know the Bible tells you to be angry? You're going to challenge me on that one. It says, be angry and sin not. You got emotions. Let it go. Sometimes you just want to strangle somebody. But don't let that take root. Well, there's a bunch of you nodding on that. Sometimes you just want to strangle, but don't let it take root. Be angry. Yeah, look it up. I'm not on the defensive here. Look it up. See if I didn't know what it says. It says, be angry and sin not. Oh, what we got to be careful of is when it becomes tainted, when it root, beware lest a root of bitterness spring up and defile many. God doesn't fall off the throne when we show some emotion. He made us like we are. But stay on track. Stay devoted. Oh, you know how many times I've taken that 5-mile walk where we live? I love to walk. I love to walk. I can't put into words how much I like to walk. And pray and be out in nature with God. You know how many times I've had to start my prayer with, Lord, I dropped the ball. Yeah. I dropped the ball. I did not handle that the way I should have. Lord, can I have another shot at that? Do you know he'll do that? He'll give you another shot at something. I've had times when I handled something poorly with a person, I'd say, Lord, can I have another shot at that? And he'd bring around another situation. I would have forgotten about it. I had that happen a week ago. I had something come back up, and the Lord reminded me, I'm giving you another shot at that. You asked me to. He remembers your request better than you do. When that came up, I thought, that's right, I prayed that. I forgot that. And the Lord gave me another opportunity to handle something right. Why? Because he wants us to grow as a father. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. I believe Jesus was praying for them that that storm would develop them and make them the champions they needed to be, because he knew he was going back to the Father. And he knew he needed someone to bear witness. He needed somebody to be ambassadors for him. Man, you got to have some training to do that. The waves and the wind were against it. Verse 25. Hey, that's still up there. Good. The thing disappears sometime. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Wouldn't this have been cool to see? And the disciples saw him on the lake and they were terrified. It's a ghost. Ever have that? Devil loves to shout, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. They came into my room. I thought I had a severe blood infection. I didn't just get off the boat. I thought I'd had that flu, that terrible strain of flu 11 years ago that was going around where people were so weak. One lady got on her hands and knees and crawled across the room to call the doctor. She was that weak. I thought I had that flu. And then when I started bleeding between my teeth, I thought, I got a blood infection. I've been with lots of people over the years in medical situations, and I thought, my platelets are broken down. I've got a blood infection. That's why I'm so weak. And then when I started dripping blood from my nose, but when the doctor came in the room and looked at me and said, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You need to know the truth here. You're a medical emergency. You have acute leukemia. And we cannot let you go home. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. When that phone rings and you pick it up in the middle of the night and there's news about your son or daughter, it's a ghost. Jesus said, it is I. Be not afraid. Will you receive this from me? I can't force it on you. Will you receive this from me? Sometimes the things that look like the biggest ghosts turn out the greatest blessings when Jesus is in it. It's a ghost. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. Lost my place. Verse 28. Good, it's up there. Lord, if it's you. Now, we bag on Peter a lot. And he asked for some of it. I mean, he did. Come on. I mean, this guy's brash. He's pretty rough around the edges. You know, he's a hardened fisherman and lived on the sea. But you got to hand it to this guy. Look at the brave step that he took here. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Would you do that? Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come. Come. One word. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. My brother-in-law said this week, and when he said it, God spoke to me. I want to ask you the question that he's going to ask the Haiti church. But God spoke to me and said, ask your congregation this. How many words does it take for you to obey? How many words from Jesus does it take for you and I to obey? I'm sad to say it, but there's times God's been having conversations with us about something for 15 years and we still haven't done it. Will you receive that? There's things God's had conversations with us for 15 years and we still haven't done it. And we can't figure out why we don't have victory. We can't figure out why we can't walk on water. We can't figure out why we're not going anywhere in our life. There's things that God has had conversations with us about for 15 years, and we're still not doing it. How many words does it take? And I plead with you that question, and I say it myself. Lord, make me a man that all you got to do is say, Thomas, come. And I'll throw my leg over the boat. And like Don says, when you throw the second leg over, you got to let go of the boat. It's one thing to throw your leg over. It's another thing to let go of the boat. I don't know what your boat is. That's not my job. I don't preach on details and what everybody should do and what everybody should. That's up to the Holy Spirit. What I need to give you is foundational truth that works. What is it that God's saying to you? Can I say that one more time? God's been having conversations with some of us for 15 years, and we're still not doing what he told us to do. How many words does it take for you to obey? If it's you, have me come to you on the water. Come, he said. Come to me on the water. And Jesus got down. Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. I'm going to back up. Got some things to say about that. I want to go back to the how many words does it take for you to obey? There's a sweetness. Some of you can relate to this. There's a sweetness that comes in your life when you reach a point of surrender where all the Lord has to say is one word to you. I've always liked Vince's testimony. You know his testimony of being in prison and all. Vince often says, the only thing I did right was surrender. That's an awesome thought. There's a sweetness when we're surrendered enough. How special it is when we're so loyal that it only takes one word. I think one of the reasons that it took me a few months to adjust to Kevin coming back from Haiti. That's fine. It's okay. Is because there's a sweetness in him like David, and God only said one word to him. I think right now he's not supposed to be in Haiti. So don't read a thing into what I'm saying. There's nothing to read. But the reason it took me a little while to adjust is because I saw the Lord call him. I was in the living room at sunup. We kind of had a little game in Haiti to see who could get to the porch first, because the porch is an awesome time to have prayer in the mission house, because it faces the ocean and the sun comes up just off to your side here. And it's a sweet place to pray, and usually I beat everybody out there because I get up at times that you couldn't imagine. The rats are still running up the side of the house. In fact, I had one go right past me. They climb up the metalwork over the windows to get up into the attic. This particular morning, I went out to peek out and see if anybody was on the porch, and I saw Kevin's silhouette of his head there on the swing, and I knew he was on the porch. And so I thought, I'm not going to interfere. He's sorting out his call. So I sat in the living room. What he didn't know is I wasn't watching him, but all I had to do was look up from my place, and I could see his silhouette through the window. And he has shared it, so we're breaking no secrets. He has shared it here. But he had often said, Lord, the Lord doesn't speak to me like he does Dad. He said that to me. He said that the Lord just doesn't speak to me the same. And I'd say, be who you are. You'll figure it out. Don't try to copy the other person. David can't wear Saul's armor. We talked about that last week. You can't kill Goliath trying to clang around and Saul stuff. You got to have your stuff, okay? And so I was telling him as a father, but he'd say, Dad, the Lord just doesn't speak to me as clear as he does you, but I got to, if I'm going to go to Haiti, I just have to know it's him. I said, that's a fair response. You got nothing wrong with that. So I saw him sitting there, and he's told us in the church, he said, God didn't give me a sentence. He didn't give me a whole thing. I just said, Lord, do you want me to do this? And he said, the Lord said to me, come. Same thing he did here. One word. And I never will forget because I saw Kevin stand up. And I could see his silhouette. And it's just like yesterday. It was early in the morning. The sun was coming up. And you could just faintly see him against. And when he stood up, I could see him better against the sky. And I saw him stand up and walk over to the edge of the balcony on the porch. And he put his hands to his face. And I saw him shake it. And I knew he was crying. And I knew that God had spoken to him. I didn't know what God had said at that point. He told us later. But all God had said is come. And I remember watching him, and I said, Lord, what is it I'm to do? And as clear as anything, the Lord said, prepare the way. Remember when Guy and I and Kevin Summers went over for a week and a half and worked on the house and put a new bathroom in and did all kinds of stuff? Well, that was answering what he told me to do. He said, prepare the way. Get it ready for him to go. So we did that. And I do believe that they're to be home right now. So don't read a thing into that. But that's one of the reasons why it was a little adjustment at first. A little adjustment. You got to kind of warm up to it. Because I knew God had spoken to him. But I want to say as a compliment to Kevin that there's a sweetness. There's a sweetness in all God has to say. It's just come. I want to hear you, Lord. I want to hear you like other people do is what he was thinking. And maybe you could give me a dialogue and tell me, but I'll go if you just say one word. How many words does it take for you to obey? I want to come to the place in my walk with Lord, all he has to do is go, and I'll say, okay, I'll go talk to that person. Not argue for 10 minutes, rationalize for another 10, fuss about it. How many words does it take? I know this is the fourth time I've said it, but I feel heavy on my heart. I think there's some of us, God's been having conversations with us for 15 years, and we're still not doing it. Now listen, I see all of you when we're singing up here. You have a desire to be what Peter became. You want the Lord in your life. I see you. You want the Lord in your life, but Peter wouldn't have walked on water. Why can't we? Why don't we see miracles like we? America's about the most rebellious nation there is. The Bible says rebellion's is a sin of witchcraft. We start going back to God and answering on one word, we won't need to worry about God coming through. Peter, the rough-edged fisherman, became such a powerful man of God that when he got up at Pentecost and preached, they were like, whoa. The Pharisees and scribes and learned men of their time were like, whoa, these guys are uneducated. Listen to this. And the Spirit of God was so powerful on Peter that his shadow, the Holy Spirit on him, his shadow was healing people. They were literally laying people so that his shadow would cast over them. That's not Peter. That's the power of the Spirit. You say, Pastor, that's what I want. One word, obedience. When we come to a surrendered place where God doesn't have to fuss with us for 20 years, and we start with one word, Lord, I'd like to step out there. Come. Okay, here I come. When we do that, we'll become the man that brings a presence, the woman that brings a presence so strong that you don't have to holler at the top of your lungs. No offense, everybody can pray their own way. I don't have a problem with that. In Haiti, you ought to hear them. They take your roof off the church. We don't have to holler till the register vents are all rattling. We can just walk in and bow our heads in the sweet, small, sweet, sweet voice, still small voice, and say, Lord, When I pray my hardest, a lot of times it's not out loud. I'll have times I feel impressed, and I don't just do it unless I feel impressed. I think there's power in touch, and I don't do that unless I feel impressed. I'm not just a guy who runs around and lays hands on everybody. If I lay hands on somebody, I felt like I was supposed to lay hands on them. But when I lay hands on them, I usually go to a whisper, and I'm not sure why. But that's what I have to do. I go to a whisper. Because one word is powerful. Can I carry that one word theology just a little bit farther and take an exit ramp for just a second? There's another time Jesus said one word. You ready? And it was go. The demonic with 1,000 demons scraping himself with stones, screaming out, what a fearful, intimidating situation. And the demons said, allow us to go into the pigs. And he said, go. You want power against the enemy, which is the Holy Spirit within you. He'll use one word. I'm not making light of all-night prayer vigils. I think there's a time for that. But I think sometimes we give the devil too much credit. I've seen people talk about the devil. Oh, man, and we got to get together, and there's got to be about 30 of us. And I remember one night I prayed in a barn on a pile of manure with somebody that was demon-possessed. And that person even cried out to me and said, there's not enough people here. And I shouted back, and I said, it's 2 a.m, I'm all you've got. And I began praying and pleading the blood of Jesus, and that person fell limp into me, and I felt that spirit leave him. That ain't about me. I'm not making light of prayer vigils. There's a time when my people, called by my name, assemble together and humble themselves and pray. There's a time for that. So don't think I'm making light of that. But I think sometimes we get the enemy too much credit. With the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, it's Jesus, it's not us. The power of the Holy Spirit on us, as Jesus said, go. That's the end of it. Go. I never will forget my dad. He was a mild-mannered man. And in Haiti, he got so upset of the demonic forces and the stuff going on in the voodoo worship, because it's changed in Haiti a lot since then. When Daddy was first there, 60-70% of Haiti was voodoo worship. A friend missionary of my parents that we know well was actually in a ceremony where a goat talked. Some crazy stuff years ago. I never forget my dad, who's a mild-mannered man. And out of nowhere, he turned and those around him heard him. And he said, you get out of here in Jesus' name. Just like that. Boy, the devil scatter. Because he runs from the presence of the Lord, because he fears the word of your testimony, which is Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. One word. I want to be a man of God in a troubled world that can whisper a word at the altar. And the power of the Holy Spirit come in full force to that person. I want to be there, but I believe it starts with one word, obedience. So we don't find victory because we're fussing with God for years. And we won't do this and we won't do that. And you know, he's as a father pitieth his children. God's very patient. There's things we probably wouldn't put up with. You ever with your grandkids, you know, you just love them to pieces. You say, I've had enough of this. I've had enough. Now that's enough. Well, grandma over here, she's sweet as she can be, but now and then I'm telling you, she'll come unglued. And I'll come out and think, is that who was in there a while ago? Yeah, that's the same lady. And the grandkids even, whoa, grandma can get a little worked up here occasionally. Having a little fun, but I want to be a man that finds the sweetness of surrender. And I'll obey God with one word. Going to close here in a second. Maybe the reason we can't walk on water is because God has to fuss with us for years to get us to obey. The willing, surrendered heart that's quick to obey without questioning brings the anointing and all that comes with the anointing. That's worth writing down. The willing, surrendered heart that's quick to obey without questioning brings the anointing and all that comes with the anointing. Now, keep in mind, it's a process. It's a process. You know, Peter still had some issues. Peter responded to the one word, come. But Peter denied the Lord and then went out and wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because he had found the sweetness, and in a moment of weakness, he gave in. You ever had to go weep bitterly? I have. Lord, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball. I didn't handle it the way I should have. I dropped the ball. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him and go to him. Peter dropped the ball big time. But Jesus restored him, and before he went back to the Father, he said, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I do. Peter, do you love me? Interesting, three denials in his moment of weakness, and three times Jesus affirmed him by asking him if he loved him. And then left and empowered them with his Holy Spirit. And Peter became an awesome man of God. The only other thing I'm going to say, then I'm done. There's something to this one word obedience. We can pick on Peter all we want. Peter is the only disciple, and this is kind of heavy, but he's the only disciple that was counted worthy to die like Jesus did. Peter was crucified. Bible history tells us that Peter was crucified. He's the only one of the disciples that was worthy. He died like Jesus did. That's pretty heavy. Not young Christians always understand that stuff. But you want to see the sweetness again? Bible history tells us that he was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified like the Lord. Wow. I'm telling you, I'm not sure all how you get there. But that's the real deal there. That's the real deal there. But I believe it starts with one word. How many words does it take for you to obey? Only you can answer that. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for everyone here. Lord, I'm just excited about the group that's here today. You just had so many that are out today. It's just awesome to see folks come that we haven't seen for a while and some visiting, and we're appreciative of that. I ask you to take these words. If there's anything I've said in the flesh, I mean that with all my heart, Lord. You know I pray that privately as well. But now I publicly pray. If there's anything that I've said in the flesh, melt it. Cause them to forget it. But Lord, I believe a majority of what's been said today was said through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And I would ask that you would take those truths and put them deep within each of our hearts in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.